Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our future Melbourne Committee meeting on Tuesday, the 19th of July 2022. We are starting at 6 p.m. Absolutely delighted to welcome, of course, members of the public, our management team and councillors to this important meeting. We are meeting on the lands of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people and the Bunurong Boonwurrung people, and we pay our respects to their elders past and present as traditional owners of the land on which we govern. We also acknowledge and honour the unbroken spiritual, cultural and political connection that our traditional custodians have with this land, so including the Wurundjeri and the Bunurong, we have the Jajawurrung, the Tungurung and the Wadawurrung peoples of the Kulin Nation, and we pay our respects to their elders past and present, and we acknowledge their ownership of this unique place for more than 2,000 generations. We are committed at the City of Melbourne to our reconciliation journey because at its heart, strengthening relationships between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples has benefits for all Victorians. As I said earlier to everybody here, this meeting is being streamed live and the video and audio recording will be made available on the Council's website by close of business tomorrow. And the unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will be made available on our website as soon as practicable. Can we please all check that our mobile phones are turned off or to silent for the duration of the meeting? Makes for a good meeting to ensure we don't have any of those interruptions. Well, the agenda this evening comprises four reports from management, and an apology has been received from Councillor Campbell. We are absolutely delighted to be here in South Yarra with so many of our locals here at St Martin's Theatre. It's a place where many of us, including me, started our experience with theatre as a young person, and we're really pleased that you're joining us for the theatre of a future Melbourne Committee meeting this evening. And we're encouraging all of you to be involved and participate. I'm sure it's why you're here. And just remembering that we are live streaming. So if from time to time we have some logistical technology issues, please bear with us as we ensure that everybody can access our meeting this evening. Now, to get the formal proceedings underway, I'm reminding all of our committee members that where we make a decision on the basis of fewer than six votes in favour, then that matter can be referred by a councillor to council for decision. I'm also noting that if any councillor has either a general or material conflict of interest as defined in the Local Government Act 2020, then please disclose the nature and type of that interest prior to consideration of the relevant item. Thanks, councillors. We're up to item three on the agenda, which is confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting, and I'm calling on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the minutes of open meeting number 38, held on Tuesday, the 12th of July. Councillor Griffiths, thank you, and a councillor to second the motion. Thanks, Councillor Dr. Ball. I'm going to put that motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Councillors, are there any items arising from those minutes that you'd like to discuss at this point? No, thank you. Now, the following submissions have been received in accordance with the Council's governance rules, and I'm going to read those out now in relation to each of the agenda items this evening. In relation to agenda item 6.1, which is our Neighbourhood Key Issues and City of Melbourne Projects for South Yarra, we've had a request to speak from B. McNicholas, who's Director of Walk in St Kilda Road and Environs, Convener, Planet Arc, National Tree Day, Nature Care Heritage and Lighting Events. In relation to agenda item 6.2, which is Planning Permit Application TP-2021-224, which is 95 Millswood Street in South Yarra, we've had requests to speak from Hamish Balzan at Urban Edge Consultants, Michael Butcher, Tom Buchan, Song Bowden Planning, and Jack Lyons from Ratio. Items of correspondence also from Tom and Jack. In relation to agenda item 6.3, Municipal Planning Strategy Major Initiative 20, we've had items of correspondence from Katie Roberts, Chris Thrum, Gail Gledhill, President, Melbourne South Yarra Residents Group, and David Hamilton, President, Southbank 3006. In relation to agenda item 6.4, which is Faulkner Park, Paisley Street, North Entrance Improvements, we've had a request to speak from B. McNicholas and from Jennifer McDonald, and we've also had an item of correspondence from Jennifer and also Jill Quirk. Now, I'm advising submitters that you will be invited to address the committee at the time the relevant item is being considered, that you'll have 3 minutes to address the committee, and we normally have a countdown clock of some type. It's not always possible, but we'll have the bell. So what we'll do is a bell will go at the end of 2 minutes to let you know that you've got 1 minute left. If you are submitting via Zoom, you should see a countdown clock on your screen. If you could please finalise your presentation at 3 minutes, that would be most appreciated. Thank you very much. Now, the great thing about Future Melbourne Committee meetings, we think, is that we have public questions at the start and also at the end of our meetings. And we allow 15 minutes for members of the public to be able to ask questions. You can submit them prior or you can ask them on the night. You can ask them via video link or you can ask them in person. We're really doing everything we can to make our meetings as accessible as possible. To enable the public to participate, we have a system where you can register your question beforehand, and we have a couple of those this evening. But for anybody that wants to put their hand up, I'm just noting that the questions must be genuine questions. They can't be in relation to an agenda item because otherwise they're counted as a submission. And you would have already had the chance to put your submission in and you'll be invited to speak at the time of that item. We request if you can keep your questions to no more than 90 seconds, and it's amazing how many things you can say in 90 seconds, then that's a great way of keeping proceedings moving and being respectful to others who also have questions, noting that we have limited time for questions. We also want to say before we get started, it's a lot of preamble, isn't it, to question time. It's not in the 15 minutes, you'll be pleased to know, that when we read written public questions, we're reading them verbatim. We're not attesting to the veracity or the factual nature of those questions. We're literally reading them verbatim, and then we provide a response to each of those questions. So I can say that as the City Transport Infrastructure and Operations Portfolio Lead, I get to read the first question, which comes from James Syme. And James says, what is council policy on footpath maintenance? A number of footpaths in South Yarra are in poor repair. How regularly are these inspected by council, and to what extent do we rely on the services of Snap, Send, Solve? Defects can be a cause of serious injury, and this risk is increased with inadequate street lighting in many areas. I'm going to read the response that has been prepared by our acting head of city infrastructure, Sherlene Yeyet, and it goes like this, James, but thank you for your question. Sherlene confirms that we undertake footpath inspections every 6 months on major roads, along major roads, and annually for other roads, smaller arterial roads. We also have surveillance officers who undertake inspections on a proactive basis. Our road asset management plan and road management plan govern the intervention standards, frequency of inspections, and our footpath renewal program based on modelling of footpath condition data. Street lighting assets are owned and managed by City Power, and City Power is required to undertake the maintenance of those lighting assets and rely on the public to report any faulty street lights to the extent that you see those that's the best place to go, but we're certainly happy to do advocacy if you come and let us know. The City of Melbourne has arranged an upgrade of all of the old technology streetlights in South Yarra to be changed to the new LED white lights, which provide better coverage and visibility, and that program is underway. If there are any specific areas of concern on footpaths or lighting, please do let us know, because we can send a team out to actually have a look. We do respond to Snaps and Solve, but the best way to do it is to actually upload a photo or the details directly onto our council website, and that way we receive it directly and we can act and respond more quickly. And we do welcome the eyes and ears of all of our residents to let us know where they see incidents, because based on our program of works, it's not possible for us to be those eyes and ears across your local neighbourhood in the same way that you can. So we really do welcome that feedback. And thanks, James, for your question. Now, I'm advising our committee that as at 10 a.m. today, there were two requests to ask verbal questions this evening. And the first one is Stephen Haynes. And Stephen, if you could come to this microphone, please, and that just really makes sure not just all of our audience here, but people who are listening online will be able to hear your question. Welcome. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you. Do you want me to take the
mask? If it makes it easier, that'd be great.
It makes it a bit easier. Thank you. Lord Mayor Cap and Deputy Lord Mayor Rees and councillors, thanks for the opportunity to meet here at St Martin's. My question directly relates to a planning application. In May, South Yarra residents were given notice of a planning application by the Trenary Property Group, and it's for the application is for the redevelopment of 253 Domain Road, commonly known as Pullman House. It's a proposal to develop a private club and entertainment complex. The matter has gone straight to VCAT, and they've announced a compulsory conference date in September and a major hearing in November. It appears that the MCC has not formally determined the original proposal and the matter is being sent directly to VCAT. So my questions are for the relevant people here today. As the planning authority, Melbourne City Council, can you clarify what the current status of Pullman House, Soho House proposal is, and where it's at council, and what the decision-making process is, whether it's going to be determined by councillors or officer delegation? Can you indicate how the proposal located in a general residential zone with a heritage overlay complies with the broader planning scheme? Can you clarify what representations have the applicants made to Melbourne City Council other than its 500-page application? Can you clarify whether MCC intends to support or oppose the proposal? And can you clarify whether MCC has considered specifically the significant traffic and public liability issues a project of this scale will have in such close proximity to Punt Road? Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Sorry, mask, glasses, it's all happening. Thank you very much for your question. Very detailed, and I am going to ask our Deputy Lord Mayor, who's the lead on our planning portfolio, to respond. Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you very much for that, Lord Mayor. I'm happy to respond to Stephen's question, and I'll begin also, as you did, by just noting that I'm reading to you now a statement that has been prepared by City of Melbourne officers, and it goes as follows. Planning application TP-2022-161 was lodged with Council on the 29th of March 2022. Public notification of the application resulted in 119 objections. The permit applicant has chosen to lodge an application for review to VCAT as the application is beyond the 60-day statutory timeframe. A hearing date has been listed for 7 days, beginning on the 30th of November 2022. The application is currently under consideration. In accordance with Council's delegation policy, officers can either refuse the application, at which point councillors would have the option to call it in to the future Melbourne Committee, or support the application, in which case a recommendation would be made to the future Melbourne Committee for decision by councillors. It is intended that Council will issue a decision in the coming weeks, at which time it will be circulated to VCAT and all parties. So that's the statement prepared by officers. I guess as a councillor, I would just say very briefly that we have noted that there have been 119 objections. That is something that very much catches the eye of councillors. Heard the points you've made tonight about this being a general residential zone, that there's heritage considerations, that there are parking issues and that there are public liability issues. All of those matters will be, I'm sure, considered by officers drafting their report, and as I flagged, that is expected to be finalised very shortly, certainly well ahead of any VCAT proceedings. Happy to discuss that further ahead of this, after this meeting.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I'm now going to invite Bea McNicholas to come forward and ask her question. Bea. I didn't think I'd seen Bea. No, I don't know if she's on Zoom. No, okay. Zoom or Teams. If we do hear from Bea, then we can use question time at the end of the meeting to hear from Bea. All right. Well, that means that we can see if there are any other questions at this stage of the meeting. We have 15 minutes again at the end if you change your mind. But are there any other questions from members of the public here this evening at this point? Yes, please come forward to the microphone, and if you can let us know your name and question, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
Doreen Kenmar, a member of the public. I live in St Kilda Road, overlooking Faulkner Park, and I'm wondering when we can look forward to the installation of sports equipment in the park so that we retirees can exercise in the fresh air. My second question is, when can chair yoga be introduced inside the South Yarra Citizens Club in South Yarra, inside Faulkner Park? Thank you.
Doreen, great questions, very specific. I don't know the actual answers to those. Hospital hand pass from Evan there to David. Whether David would like to respond on the parks side, and then I'm not sure about yoga in the Senior Citizens Centre. Might need to take that on notice. Okay. David Callow, welcome.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thanks for your question, Doreen. Just a question of clarification. When you referred to sports equipment, were you referring to outdoor recreation equipment? Okay, great. No current plans for outdoor recreation equipment in Faulkner Park. We're currently consulting with the community about some outdoor recreation equipment in the East Melbourne area, but we will note your suggestion tonight. That would normally be something that we would test through a new master plan, so we can incorporate in that part of that process. Thank you.
Good, Doreen. Well, noted that that's your submission to those considerations, and thanks for your enthusiasm about having that equipment in Faulkner Park. The other question in relation to yoga activities at the South Yarra Senior Citizens Centre, we'll take on notice, and what we'll do is before the end of the meeting, if we can grab your details, we'll be able to come back to you directly on that. I went to visit a couple of weeks ago, and It's an absolutely stunning centre, and it's great to see in the different uses, and if we can add yoga to that, it could be very exciting. Thank you. Thanks so much for being here. I'll scan the room one more time to see if there are any other questions at this point. No? Look forward to more of those at the end of the meeting. That means that we're at item 6 on your agenda, which is reports from management. The first item, 6.1, is neighbourhood key issues and City of Melbourne projects for South Yarra. And we are going to have a presentation on this item from Rushta Halith. Rushta, if you can come forward. Rushta is our Director of Community Development and is going to provide an overview of the report you would have seen in council papers. Thanks, Rushta.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Good evening, councillors, and good evening, everyone. It's great to be here to present to you on City of Melbourne's work in and connection to the South Yarra community today. Next slide, please. It's taking a moment to load.
Some of the tech issues we talked about earlier. Here we go. Great.
There we go. Next slide, please. As you know, we commenced the neighbourhood model last year at City of Melbourne, recognising that our municipality is made up of different and unique neighbourhoods that are that have unique characteristics. And we're working to look at how can we build an understanding of each of our neighbourhoods. We're looking at how can we partner better with community to realise shared priorities, and how do we reach and enable more people to engage with City of Melbourne. This is the first year of an ongoing way of working at City of Melbourne, and this includes coming out to our neighbourhoods every month to hold our FMC meetings as well, as we're here in South Yarra today. Next slide, please. This is a bit of a snapshot of the South Yarra community, and South Yarra is really unique for City of Melbourne because only 23% of South Yarra actually sits within the City of Melbourne municipality. As you may know, the remainder sits under City of Stonington. And interestingly, for people in South Yarra, they don't always see that distinction, that geographical boundary. So we're looking to see how we can work more closely with City of Stonington as we hear more from our community about what's important to them. Next slide, please. So just to give you a quick snapshot on some of the City of Melbourne services and spaces and investments in South Yarra, we've got a couple of City of Melbourne facilities. We heard about the South Yarra Senior Citizens Centre. We've also got the Faulkner Park Children's Centre and Kindergarten here in South Yarra. City of Melbourne also manages a number of parks, including the Domain Parklands, which is also home to Riverslide Skate Park, which gets about 110,000 visits per year. We also manage Faulkner Park, which is on the agenda for later today, which also contains 12 sporting field spaces that City of Melbourne supports. In our budget for this financial year, we have approximately $5 million of investment in renewal of Faulkner Park sports fields, road safety and cycle infrastructure in the area, and an additional approximately another $2 million in general maintenance and renewal works across South Yarra as well. Next slide, please. So this neighbourhood model we have, a key part of the model is also that we have neighbourhood partners in each of the neighbourhoods. We have Ray Chin here with us today, who is the neighbourhood partner for South Yarra and East Melbourne. Ray has been working closely with many people in the community, including lots of community organisations, to really start an engagement and consultation process on what's important to people here in South Yarra. And special thank you to the Melbourne South Yarra resident group who have been working closely with Ray to really get the message out there about this consultation. We started consultation on the 1st of March. It went on for a couple of months, and we heard back from about 500 people from across South Yarra.
Did you want to? There are plenty of seats. Welcome.
Welcome. So this first phase of consultation The really exciting thing is 90% of people who participated haven't actually engaged with City of Melbourne in any form before. So that was really exciting, 90%. In general, we've been doing these consultations across the municipality and we've spoken to over 6,000 people over that over the last few months. And the average is around 75% of people who haven't engaged with us before. But in South Yarra, it was 90% who haven't really engaged with City of Melbourne, which was quite exciting. At the moment, we're analysing sort of what we're hearing from the people in South Yarra, some highlights to share in the next slide, next few slides. And what we're hoping to do is to go back to the community in August and September to really test with them a second round of consultation to say, this is sort of what we're hearing, some of the highlights and priorities, does this resonate with you? And also probably worth mentioning that we're hearing from community that across the municipality, they want a one-stop shop for their neighborhood information that is interactive and up-to-date. And to respond to this feedback, we will be building interactive websites for each neighborhood to house neighborhood-related data, community resources, list all of the community priorities that have been identified with regular updates, and showcase community stories where community groups and organizations are leading work to deliver these amazing outcomes. And this is due to be completed, a neighborhood portal for South Yarra, in late this year, around October, November of this year. That's the plan. So this is an interesting slide, and the numbers are a bit, ooh, when you look at them in the first instance, but there's some context behind it. We wanted to establish some baselines across each of our neighborhoods about how is their experience in working with City of Melbourne? Do they feel like we understand their needs and their general experience of participation and connection in the community? And this data kind of gives you a sense of people who agreed or strongly agreed with these statements in South Yarra compared to sort of a broader municipality average. The first one is an interesting stat around whether community feels City of Melbourne understands their needs, and probably influenced by the fact also that we have reached a lot of people that we haven't reached before. So people haven't had the opportunity to engage with us, and this is the first instance for them to do that and then get to know more about what we do and tell us what matters to them. So this is a start of this work and this journey. Another interesting insight from these numbers was the number of people, or the percentage, almost up to 30% for each of these statements responded neither agree or disagree, which is interesting. Both within South Yarra and similar percentages within the broader municipality as well. So this is our opportunity to really start getting under some of these numbers and trying to understand better where community is at and what we can do to work with them as we move forward. Next slide, please. So these are some of the priorities that are emerging from South Yarra specifically and how they sit with some of the objectives and opportunities we've identified in our council plan. There's strong alignment, which is fantastic, and some really interesting insights. So, for example, under Economy of the Future, businesses on St Kilda Road and Commercial Road are telling us about how their sort of prior reliance on workers who come into the city is being impacted because of COVID, and Alfred Street Hospital was another great source of income. So they're really looking at how can they focus attention on the local community who live in South Yarra, something they haven't done before, and how do they make their businesses a destination, particularly the retail offering and the hospitality offering, a destination, so that when we have Melbourne Money and other opportunities that come up, that people want to visit those restaurants and businesses in South Yarra. So that was an interesting insight. Another interesting insight around unique identity and place, a local connection is coming up everywhere across all of the neighbourhoods in the municipality, and lots of people identifying opportunities for community to do more in that space. So our neighbourhood grants program, which supports that, will be hopefully well received in South Yarra as well. And the St. Martin's Youth Art Centre that we're here today have been a great collaborator, and we're exploring how we can work more together to activate communities around this area. So that's something to look forward to. Access and affordability is another interesting one. We're hearing from older people who live in South Yarra, it's mostly about physical accessibility of spaces. Some younger people, something that we're hearing is not feeling connected to the broader community. There's a perception that the broader community is a more settled, sort of more affluent part of the suburb, and young people who rent here feeling like they would like to connect more, but not having that opportunity and sense of belonging in the community. That's been a theme that's coming through here as well. Road safety is another one that's coming up strongly under safety and wellbeing, and we have work underway for a pedestrian safety review planned in this financial year that will hopefully address that. Local composting was coming up quite strongly across climate and biodiversity, and our FOGO program is currently being rolled out to mid-rise residential dwellings, and there's demand in the high-rise dwellings as well, so something to keep an eye on and work on with the community. So some insights from what we're hearing top line, a lot of what we're already doing work to respond to, but lots of opportunity to work with community to respond to as well. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Rushta, for that presentation. And for all the work that goes on behind the scenes there, thanks, represented in the data. Now, before we get to councillor discussion on this, but you arrived just at the right time because it is now time for you to ask or make your submission in relation to this agenda item. So welcome. And that is the microphone that you're used to seeing at Town Hall. Welcome.
Apologies for being late, and apologies for each of my submissions this evening. Those who know me know I'm generally thorough and often lengthy with my submissions, but I had a major IT issue and lost everything. Oh. So I'm going from my notes. So the content will be there, but it won't be as concise as I had intended. But you will get that in the document, so I will retrieve it and I'll get it into the documentation for everyone to have a look at. This item, I understand, is just summarising things that are to happen, so there's nothing major to submit about, I'm told. However, I was concerned in glancing through it about a number of issues. It mentions two heritage-listed places, and that's my special area of expertise and qualification and where I put my main energies and work. And we need to look after them or we lose them. And our heritage parks are very valuable, and we've recently... there are two things that are... not correct in that document, and they need to be corrected. And one is it states that the Paisley Street North entrance works that have just been completed in Faulkner Park were part of the master plan. They were not part of the master plan. The master plan is, one, outdated. It's a 2006 master plan. It was due for renewal, as stated in the last page of the document, by City of Melbourne in 2016. And 2016 was also a pivotal year where it was added to the Victorian Heritage Register, so major change needing major relook. Secondly, we've never had a conservation management plan done with the community for Faulkner Park. So the proper planning processes, which the City of Melbourne has committed to do but hasn't done for Faulkner Park, and we've been asking for now since 2018, is to not do any more works in Faulkner Park until they stop and do the conservation management plan with extensive community consultation and groups consultation and resident consultation, and once the conservation management plan is done, to start on the master plan, which has been due since 2016, and that's a major thing being added to Victorian Heritage Register. So, and we're all committed to the place, and we need to do that. The second thing that's not quite right is I had questions about the domain parklands being in there, and there was a thing about putting in and getting tenders shortly on a water skate park in there. Now, I didn't have time to look in detail through the Domain Parkland master plans, but I don't recall ever seeing a skate park in there.
It's the skate park down in Alexandra Gardens there that's been there. Existing skate park. It's called River Slide.
Is it in Domain Parklands itself?
By the Yarra River.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was a query, but because that's my last 2 points is... and I'll bring that up in question time as well. We've been asking, we've been promised at least on 2 occasions that we will get early release of documentation. All of the items today are relevant to me and to this area, and I would have liked to look at them and submit to all of them, but we had 2 business days and 2 hours, and it's just not possible. I didn't get time to communicate to my groups who are over 10,000 people. They'll be cross with me. Thirdly, the comments that you have in there about heritage listed places, I really query that they should be in that 6.1, because we passed, or you passed unanimously, the 1st of September 2020, our Future Melbourne Committee resolution for a thorough review and report on the way City of Melbourne manages its heritage listed parks and gardens and some places. And it was done particularly because of the issues and failings and omissions to do with the process for Fawkner Park. And we've been waiting for that. And over generous 12 months was allowed. And I keep asking, when's it coming? And it's now over 10 months overdue. Now, we need to separate heritage listed places, which are already separated. They've been taken out of open space, raised above. Okay. We need to really manage it properly. So I ask you to please do that and not do any works in these places until we get those in place so we can do them properly and have proper access to the documents.
Bea, thank you as always for your submission. I think Alison was going to respond to a couple of those points, and then I can see if councillors have any questions. Go ahead.
Fantastic. Thank you, Bea, for your submission, and through you, Lord Mayor. Bea, you touched on a number of things there in the submission, and there were a number of reports that you covered off. So I'm going to start with the report relating to the municipal planning strategy and your point around having access to those documents with enough time to make a submission. I think what's really important to highlight this evening is what we're proposing, the management recommendation to council, is that we place those documents on public exhibition. So there'll be many, I think it's around the 2nd of August that the, I'll just confer with Evan in terms of the period of time that will be on public exhibition. 4 weeks? Thank you. So, and we've got a presentation later this evening that Sophie Handley, our Director of City Strategy, will be doing, which will outline that in a little more detail. But the point that I'm wanting to make is there will be time to provide a very detailed submission to us that we can take into account in terms of advancing those documents. With respect to the Fawkner Park report that's later on this evening at Council, I take your point around the master plan. We've had those conversations before. I think there's some things that perhaps we don't agree on in terms of your perspectives, but I might invite David Callow just to outline the master plan and just responding to your query with respect to the entrance. But again, we're able to cover that off later this evening when we get to that item. So thank you, Bea, for your submission. And David, is there anything further you'd like to outline in response to the Fawkner Park matter?
Thanks, Alison, and through you, Chair. Bea, in just response to your comments around the Fawkner Park Master Plan, we have 9 parks with master plans within the City of Melbourne. Most recently, we've completed the Domain Parklands Master Plan a couple of years ago and Carlton Gardens just a couple of months ago. Next in line is the Royal Park Master Plan, which was from 1998. That will take us about 2 years to complete those works. Then we have Flagstaff Gardens, which was completed in 2000, and then Fawkner Park, which was 2006. So I agree that within the document it talks about an ideal time frame being 10 years. That is not what we're able to achieve in this case, given the resources available. But as I've said, Fawkner Park would be next in the queue, and then, Flagstaff Gardens, and then Fawkner Park.
Mind that, and I understand that. The main issue is you're doing a massive amount of work in Fawkner Park. There have been work done there since lockdown began that we've seen nothing of, heard nothing of. We've rung and asked could we have copies of it, and we didn't receive them. They're not detailed in the master plan. They've paved and built for the first time in the park, and that's not the question I'm asking, whether a court should be in the core of the park and all these paving and lighting at the time of environmental issues, etc. That's not the question. The question is we've always stood up in this area for proper process and consultation, and we didn't have that. 100 people were mailed on that project, and they all lived or were at the school or near that corner, but the damaging work is done in the core of the park and affects us all. We've lost a major amenity. And so I ask that you stop work in the meanwhile. Thank you.
Okay. And Bea, thank you. We've heard you, and we've certainly understood your views on that from lots of conversations we've had. And I think, as Alison said earlier, as part of the cut and thrust of council business, sometimes we agree to disagree. Certainly on the works you're referring to, that's coming up at item 6.4, and we can talk more then about that project, but proper process consultation, including with Heritage Victoria, etc., all undertaken in relation to those works. We are going to move on, councillors, unless you have any questions resulting from Bea's submission. To clarify, no, thank you. Then I am calling on a councillor to move the resolution 6.1. Councillor Dr. Ball, thank you. And a councillor to second that motion. Councillor Hakim, thank you. So back to you, Councillor Dr. Ball, to move the motion. Thanks. No. So is it activated, Matt?
Oh, good evening, and thank you very much, all of you, for coming here tonight. We're delighted to be meeting here in South Yarra. This first report before us this evening is all about South Yarra, and I do commend it to you all, as I'm sure very interesting reading to you as local residents. I thank Rushta for the report and for her presentation of it this evening. As she mentioned, the City of Melbourne is responsible for 23% of South Yarra, all of that west of Punt Road, doubtless the best part of South Yarra. And that's over 8,000 residents and almost 18,000 workers in this sliver wedge of South Yarra. And of course, vast and gorgeous and very, very precious and beloved parklands serving the community in hugely diverse ways. From recent history, when eels were hunted in the what is now the Royal Botanic Gardens, the Kulin peoples who lived on this colonised, unceded land, to things you may not be involved in, but you may have heard of Quidditch, which apparently takes place in the Faulkner Park, and that involves, if you're not familiar with it, riding on broomsticks, to the Riverslide Skate Park, which we've heard about this evening, and which, as Rushta mentioned, receives 110,000 visitors a year. So diverse activities for all of our local residents and visitors of all ages and backgrounds and abilities. And it's we're delighted with this report. I do commend it to you and encourage you all to read it. And to, it's both looking backwards and a scope of the suburb, this part of the suburb from the, in the City of Melbourne, and looking forward to exciting new developments like the opening of Anzac Station, which is currently occupying Edmund Heron Oval, but these things will be returned to public open space in time when the station opens, which is due in 2025. And other important matters that I would draw your attention to, such as emergency planning, which is increasingly important, and community resilience and working together to think about these very, very critical issues for our community. And you've already been introduced to Ray. I don't know, Ray, if you want to wave, but those of you who haven't met our staffer, Ray, who is your community neighbourhood representative, she is the key liaison between the South Yarra community specifically and council. So she'd love to meet you tonight if you want to say hello or get in touch at any other time. So I'm delighted to move this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Dr. Ball. Councillor Hakim, to you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Dr. Ball, for those words and for moving the motion. Welcome, everyone. It's so good to see so many residents in the room. I want to recognise how important active engagement is in this process, but in every local process as well. And we've had some feedback today, and it's terrific to be able to have conversations as well in person. This is what it's about. We know that from seeing some of the statistics there, there is the that our community here feels that they are not getting the same sort of fair feedback or engagement as other parts of our community. So recognizing South Yarra as part of our neighborhoods and giving it that specific space, portals, and connections is so important.
That's what our neighbourhood model is about, as you heard from Rushta. There's a second round of consultation coming in August, so please do take part. It's going to be a continuously iterative process. This is about your neighbourhood. This is about creating information and about building more relationships and into our plans for your neighbourhood. And what a terrific neighbourhood it is. So many things that Councillor Dr. Ball has shared, but those green spaces, and I particularly love my tennis, so enjoy the tennis courts up here. It is a very active neighbourhood, and you've got specific parts that will play a part in your neighbourhood plan. So I encourage you to really take part in those conversations. Please do share with us what you need in that to make sure that we can create spaces for that active engagement and get to know Ray as well. I am happy to second this motion and commend that to councillors.
Thank you, Councillor Hakim. Are there other speakers to this motion this evening? Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I just was going to address a matter raised in the submission. Bea's quite right that the reporting date on the project we set ourselves to review how we manage council projects on land in parkland on the Victorian Heritage Register was due to be reported out in September. Obviously, the pandemic is quite a bit longer than any of us wanted it to be, and it has taken longer than we intended. The matter was reported out to councillors on the 14th of April, but we haven't yet concluded the public reporting aspect of that project. However, it's certainly not an issue that's been forgotten. It's been taken very, very seriously, and so I hope we can disclose as much information as about how we've undertaken that review and what the recommendations out of that review has been, especially for local residents who hold Faulkner Park dear. Thank you.
Thank you. Other speakers to the motion? I'm just going to say a few words, and that is to note that this item this evening is similar to our first item at the other neighbourhood Future Melbourne Committee meetings as we roll out this new neighbourhood delivery model across council. The first place we must start is to understand our neighbourhoods better, and that's why these reports have been absolutely critical. On the one hand, thank you to 500, just over 500 people that have made a contribution, because your insights have gone into this report and they're unique insights and most appreciated. And as Rushta Stedt said, it really speaks to the pride that locals have for this unique neighbourhood. Other elements of the report bring together information, data, analytics and the expertise across our team and sources beyond, and that's to bring us a more accurate and detailed picture of this neighbourhood, its current needs, its ambitions and your expectations. From our perspective, this is an approach that is unanimously endorsed by councillors into ways in which we can not just be better informed, but be more responsive to what you would like to see happen in your neighbourhood, but also what the needs are. I think James said to me earlier that the insights in the report were surprising, and I think we found that for all of our neighbourhoods, to get detail into median age, where people were born, what languages, then drives more insight for us in terms of needs and ways in which we can make better informed decisions. So from our perspective, promoting these neighbourhood reports and this new model is absolutely key for driving the information and the insights. For us, it then becomes operationalised, and we've mentioned Ray's name many times, but to have a dedicated champion for this neighbourhood who, along with areas of expertise across council, becomes the person to really be a champion for South Yarra across those various areas in council is absolutely key as well, and I think really signals a much more proactive approach from council into better managing issues in our neighbourhoods. So that is one of the reasons why we're having these as the first item of our future Melbourne committee meetings in each neighbourhood, is to really bring more attention. Firstly, to say thank you to those who have already participated, but secondly, to bring more attention to what is a new model for how we will be operating into the future. And this is the benchmark from which we will be working with residents and ratepayers, workers, visitors and students in South Yarra. It also highlights the various aspects and initiatives. It says, of course, that it's our neighbourhood key issues, but also our projects as they currently are. It's important that that recognises there are strategic issues, such as how we're going to be managing these magnificent open spaces, how we'll be addressing heritage, which is coming up, as David said, and how we will be responding to those strategic needs. And we'll be talking about the municipal plan a little bit later. It also looks at operational issues, and that does include potholes and pavements. And to that extent, as I said earlier, you being our eyes and ears going forward is something that we really appreciate, and we're trying to bring that level of detail to the way in which we interact with you. Which leads me to the point that I think is most important. This is about ongoing information to you about what we're doing, but this new approach, this new model, the portals as they come together, is a key way for you to engage with us. And we are trying to set up a more dynamic environment in which we are engaging with you. So we're really promoting and encouraging everyone to get involved with this new model and the way in which we're going to be interacting with you in the future. And when I say dynamic, we really mean very dynamic. Very local information will continue to be provided on that portal that's relevant for the residents and ratepayers of South Yarra. So we hope that you will continue to be involved with us. We hope you will continue to use the website and liaise with Ray, but of course liaise with all of us as councillors and the relevant areas of expertise across our organisation. And it all really comes together through this model and this report this evening. That's the reason why I'm supporting the motion tonight and why, as I said, we're very supportive of this new delivery model at council. With that, I look to see if there is anybody else with final words on this motion. I'm going to put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you. I'm now going to call on the Deputy Lord Mayor, Nicholas Rees, to assume the role of Chair during this part of the meeting as it relates to the city planning portfolio. Over to you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Sally Capp, there are two reports from management for consideration under the planning portfolio this evening. The first of those is Agenda Item 6.2, Planning Permit Application TP-2021-224. For the property 94 Milswin Street, South Yarra. Can I ask if there are any councillors who need to declare a conflict in relation to this item?
Deputy Lord Mayor, I am declaring a material conflict, material interest, resulting in a conflict on the basis of a donation made to the 2020 election campaign. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Councillor Louis.
Deputy Lord Mayor, I need to ditto the Lord Mayor, and I also need to declare conflict due to a donation.
Thank you, Councillor Louis. And I also need to declare a conflict on this item as a result of a donation and therefore have a material conflict. So I will be excusing myself as well, and I call on Councillor Leppett to assume the role of Chair of the meeting as Deputy Lead of the City Planning Portfolio.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. We'll just pause while councillors leave the chamber and presumably go and knock off the rest of the sandwiches. And while they're leaving, I will ask Marjorie Kennedy if you wouldn't mind approaching the microphone, because we will have a presentation, please. And Can I ask as well, if you wouldn't mind touching on the issue of how the grading or non-grading of the property has been arrived at and what's been done to explore that particular issue from a heritage angle? Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to this item. So the item before you tonight is 95 Millswin Street in South Yarra. Next slide, please. The location you'll be very familiar with, as it is only stone's throw away from where we are tonight. So many of you will have walked past this site on your way here tonight. The site is on the western side of Millswin Street, as shown in this diagram. The site is located in a general residential zone, Schedule 5, which has a 12-metre height control. It's also in DDO 15, which also has a 12-metre height control. And it's located in a heritage overlay, Schedule 6, with a non-contributory grading. Next slide, please. This is a photograph of the site. Next slide, please. This image is to show you the immediately adjacent properties to this site. So on the left-hand side, there's a photograph of a four-storey apartment building, which is located to the south of this site. And on the right-hand image is the two-storey dwelling to the north of this site. Next slide, please. We'll now turn to matters of heritage and the grading for this site. So in the original conservation study for this building, it was graded as being an E-graded building with a level 3 streetscape, which is a low-level streetscape. During the process of amendment C358, it was regraded to non-contributory, so that was changing those gradings into a consistent grading system, which is consistent with all other councils across the state. At the time that this application was lodged, and the objections were received, which raised queries about that grading status. Council referred those concerns that were raised in objections both to our heritage advisor, so our internal heritage advisor, for comment, and also to our city strategy department as well, who is responsible for heritage reviews. The advice from both our heritage referral was that prima facie there was no reason, there was no need for there to be any change in that grading from non-contributory. And secondly, from City Strategy, the advice was that that there would not be any seeking of an interim control to upgrade the status of this site. So therefore, the decision that we're making tonight is based on what the planning scheme says today and those internal referral comments as well, which are that the status of this building is non-contributory. The planning scheme has clear guidance on non-contributory dwellings, which is that demolition is permitted. However, there needs to be an appropriate replacement building in its place so that you don't have a missing tooth within a streetscape. Next slide, please. the parts that I'll just take you to, again, were in relation to issues that were raised both by council and by objectors during that process. So it is a three-storey single dwelling on this site. There is a basement and then three levels above. The parts that I'll just draw your attention to, I can do it on this slide. So the bottom image, which is first floor, there were amendments that happened at what is Section 57A amendment application. So it's post-advertising. So it's when an applicant responds to objectors' concerns. There was a lowering of the height of the... you can see the bedroom on the left-hand side of that first floor. The parapet was reduced in height by 720 mils to reduce the impact both to the apartments to the south but also to the dwelling to the west. Next slide, please. The other concerns that were raised by objectors were overlooking. So some clarifications were made in terms of overlooking measures to that light well that you can see centrally, but also to the roof deck at the top floor. However, it's noted that there are additional, at section 9.4.8, there's a quite a detailed analysis by the planning officer in relation to overlooking, and there are some outstanding concerns that officers still have with those overlooking measures. So there's a condition 1E, which is also supported by condition 4, which requires specifics of those overlooking measures to make sure that they comply with the standard within Res Code. So whilst there's louvers, for example, to the light well, the level of detail that's provided in the plans are not enough for us to be satisfied that there won't be any overlooking. Next slide, please. So this is the presentation to the street. Next slide, please. Another issue which was raised by our heritage advisors was in relation to the material palette. So originally it was a concrete building, which has been changed to white painted concrete to better fit within the streetscape. And also at ground floor, that brown area used to be black timber. There were comments that it needed to be a more neutral tone to fit in with the surrounding area. It's not on this slide, but potentially if I go back two slides, sorry. There was one other change I forgot to touch on. The last point I'll just touch on is the light well. So that was another key issue which was raised by an objector to the north, was that is their courtyard area that is directly adjacent to this proposal. So the light well was increased in width to match, to make sure there was no wall on boundary directly opposite that courtyard area, and also to increase the depth of it to 6.3 metres. And that was required for council to be satisfied with that interface. The wall on boundary also was reduced in height. So there's an existing single to double storey wall on boundary already there. However, the proposal was at a height of 6.1 metres. That was raised as a concern by both the objector to the north and by council, and therefore it's been reduced in height to 5.1 metres, which is considered by officers on balance to be the right response to that interface, considering that it is to the south of that dwelling, but also that there's an existing condition of wall on boundaries. If we can flip past two images. And the last condition that I just want to touch on is in relation to the pergola. So there is a roof deck and pergola that's located on top of this dwelling. There's a condition that we felt was necessary to for that pergola to be within a line of sight. So it will be reduced in the overhang of that pergola so that it has a minimal impact on the streetscape. So on balance, for a non-contributory graded property on a site of 241 square metres in a general residential zone with a 12 metre height control, and the existing character and context of the site and interfaces, it's the officer's position that the application should be supported but subject to the conditions contained within the officer's report. Thank you.
Thank you, Marjorie. No notes. I'm so impressed. Any further questions for Marjorie? No, thank you. I'll now call on Hamish Balzan, Urban Edge Consultants, who will correct me on the pronunciation of his name when he gets to the microphone. Hamish, and then all future submitters, you've got 3 minutes, as the Lord Mayor explained at the beginning of the meeting, but we'll have a little bell ring after two so that you know you've got a minute left. But other than that, Hamish, please take it away.
Good evening all. I make this statement on behalf of Josie Zwicky, the owner of number 96 to 98 Hope Street, South Yarra. My client is located immediately to the west of the subject site. Put simply, this development is going to overwhelm our client's property, particularly the sole area of private open space, which is orientated to the north. The proposal is simply an overdevelopment, which is underpinned by the many non-compliances with the res code standards, including a site coverage of 72.6% and a permeability of just 3%. The non-compliances unreasonably impact my client, particularly with regards to the variations to standard A10, which is side and rear setbacks at first and second floor levels, noting the continuation of the setback line as shown on the plans has been conveniently stopped to limit the illustration at the upper levels, as shown on drawing TP06. Other non-compliances with the res code standards are detailed throughout the council officer's report, all pointing to a development which is simply seeking to squeeze too much on a small inner city block of 241 square metres. The non-compliance imposes significant visual bulk to my client's SBOS, which is compounded by the form extending for the entire interface and towards the southern boundary. Essentially, my client will be looking at a three-storey form with little visual relief. My client's property has been developed and completed within the last 5 years, seeking to maximise the amenity to be afforded into this area, and currently receives a high degree of sunlight as well as an open aspect to its north and east. These issues can only be resolved by an amended design which is more modest in scale and which responds more appropriately to its immediate abutals and the sensitive neighbourhood and heritage character, which fellow objectors will take you to in this meeting. Failure to provide this exhibits an unacceptable outcome which should not be supported by council. Thank you.
Thanks, Hamish. Can I just ask, is that objection in the same form as it was lodged before the 57A plans?
Correct.
Okay, thank you very much.
Concerns still stand.
Are there any further questions for Hamish while we have him? No, otherwise, thank you very much, Hamish. Michael Butcher, welcome and thank you for coming, and you have up to 3 minutes. Thank you very much.
Good evening, councillors. I am speaking for 12 objectors who live in Millswan Street who were referred to in the objection lodged by Urban Edge. And in addition, there are 17 other residents in Millswan Street who have objected to this application, making 29 in full, which is a significant number, all of whom take the view that this is an inappropriate building to construct in this heritage, important heritage street, which reflects the early days of Melbourne. And all of those people take the view, as do I, as a resident in Millswan Street. I should add, I'm also speaking on behalf of one of the objectors, is the Melbourne South Yarra resident group, who object to this, that a building of that size on that block of land with a frontage that presents to the street in that way is entirely inappropriate for this heritage area. It's particularly inappropriate because it is built on a block of land purchased by this owner, which he knew was smaller than any other block in Millswan Street, because it had already had 20% of it removed from the back of the property under an earlier subdivision. So we've got an even smaller block than usual, and what this applicant says is, I don't care, I want to fit everything I can that I want on that block, and everybody can bear the consequences. Council then view the application, and as they always seem to do, because the applications that come to council frequently are by developers and wealthy landowners who build very big buildings and want them as big as they can get. And then council spend time with them, chiselling little bits back to try and make them comply with something. But they don't comply with the residential code. In order for this application to succeed, you have to agree that the applicant and council is entitled to exempt the owner from 6 residential code requirements which relate to important issues like setback from the sides, which are the north side and the west side and the street. And if council think that it's inappropriate to exempt from residential code requirements that are designed to ensure that any development achieves benefits for everybody involved, the neighbours and the neighbourhood, as well as the builder, then those residential code requirements should be followed. It's not council's job, in our view, to spend time finding ways around that by taking a bit here and adjusting a bit there.
Thanks, Michael. If you could conclude and wrap up with your next few sentences, that'd be great.
The report should not be acted upon because it contains incorrect information. It says that the Residential Code 54, which deals with footprint, has been exempted, but it provides no evidence of that, except to say in the report it is contained in Annexure 2 to our report. There is no Annexure 2. There is no justification for changing the Residential Code requirement for the footprint.
Understood.
It must be rejected.
Thank you very much, Michael. Thank you. I'll call on Tom Buchan, who again will correct me if I've got your pronunciation incorrect. Oh, excellent. From Song Bowden Planning, you also have up to 3 minutes. Thank you.
you, Council and Councillors. I'll attempt to keep this short and sweet for the purposes of everyone's time. We act today for the owners of the site to the north of the site for review, that being 99 Milsom Street in South Yarra. In short, we're of the view that the proposal is an overdevelopment of this site that will result in unacceptable amenity impacts to our client's site and to the adjacent residential properties, establishing a problematic precedent for larger scale developments that reduce the livability of abutting sites. We do recognise that judgment calls need to be made and that council officers have considered the proposal thoroughly. However, we submit that the proposal is insensitive to the overall amenity of our client's site and surrounds. Specifically, our client objects to the proposed rooftop deck, west-facing windows, and lack of screening to limit overlooking impacts to habitable room windows and the secluded private open spaces within our client's site, the proposed walls on boundary and side setbacks and associated visual bulk to the north of the site and to the streetscape, the erosion of the valued heritage and neighbourhood character qualities of the street, the proposed height and location of building massing, which is disruptive to the streetscape rhythm and lacks a sensitive transition in height and form to our client's property, adverse impacts upon the heritage character of the South Yarra Heritage Precinct. The proposed demolition will also result in the loss of a likely candidate in what we see as a heritage graded building in the future, potentially. The lack of meaningful vegetation in the front setback is not in keeping with the surrounding area and local character policy. And lastly, the proposed non-compliances with res code standards mentioned by the previous objectors relating to side and rear setbacks, walls on boundary, daylight to existing windows and overlooking clearly demonstrates that the proposal is an overdevelopment of this site and not respectful of the planning requirements in place. On balance, we consider that this proposal is not entirely consistent with the relevant local planning policies and Clause 54 of the Melbourne Planning Scheme. The proposal delivers a design outcome that will materially and detrimentally impact upon the current amenity provided to our client's dwelling at 99 Milsom Street. The amended design has not gone far enough to address our client's concerns and reduce the considerable off-site amenity impacts that are evident at present. Lastly, we respectfully request that the Council refuse this application based on the aforementioned external amenity impacts and local heritage policy grounds. And we thank the Council for the time permitted today.
Thanks very much, Tom. Finally, I call on Jack Lyons from Ratio to speak as well for up to 3 minutes. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, councillors. Good evening. My name's Jack from Ratio Consultants and acting for the permit applicant in this matter. There's a couple of points I'd like to state off the top. Firstly, that our client is being the applicant fully supportive of the council officer's recommendation, and I'm not sure if you had a chance to read the full report, but this is one of the most detailed officer reports and most thorough assessments I've seen, and that's a testament to the quality of the Melbourne City Council Planning Department. And importantly, as detailed within this officer report, the application has gone has been subject to extensive consultation and modifications through the process, and our client has responded to objector concerns and concerns raised by council and the Heritage Department through the process. Importantly, the built form response is consistent with the mixed character of Milsom Street, and the area is really characterised as one where there is mixed infill development. As already touched extensively on today and within the report, the property is a non-contributory building, and as Melbourne City Council has acknowledged in other matters, it's important to actually reflect and make a decision on the Melbourne Planning Scheme and the requirements within the Melbourne Planning Scheme. And importantly, as supported by the Heritage Department, the demolition and replacement of this new dwelling is supported from a heritage perspective. And that's taken exactly from the officer report. And importantly, further to that point, the proposed design has actually considered neighbourhood amenity, and as Ms. Kennedy brought up on the screen previously in her presentation, there is a step down through the building to respond to the sensitive interfaces. I guess and obviously the light court, which responds to the northern property interface. Now, in determining the application, you must have a balanced approach, and fundamentally this proposal is entirely consistent with the Melbourne planning scheme and importantly achieves the appropriate built form, heritage and amenity outcomes. All internal referral departments are supportive of the application, and again I want to stress that the application has been amended through the process to respond to concerns. Now, opposing the granting of this permit would represent Council going against the expert independent advice offered by its internal departments, and thus we would really encourage Council to support the recommendations of the Planning Department and the Heritage Department in granting the planning permit. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jack. Are there any questions for Jack and the applicant while he's here? No. Thank you very much. You can take a seat.
Thank you, Councillor.
Have I missed anyone who wished to address the committee on this matter who hasn't done so? No. And can I check if there are any last questions for Marjorie before we enter into a debate? No. Okay. In that case, we will. I'm going to move... No, unless you would like to ask a question. Otherwise, I was planning on doing so in the debate. Do you have a question for Marjorie? No. All good. Sorry, everyone. I'll move the motion in the form of the recommendation from management, and I call on a seconder for that motion. Thank you, Councillor Leloo. I called this application in for three reasons. One, we've heard that there were 29 objections. The report says there were 14 non-identical objections, and simply to remove any dispute over how many non-identical objections there were, because 16 is the magic number in the City of Melbourne, 16 is an automatic referral to the Future Melbourne Committee. I simply called it in because I thought that was an argument that no one particularly needed to have. The second reason is I wanted to ensure that the heritage grading of the building and the potential interim grading of the building was a matter that could be aired in public before a notice of decision was issued, and I'll speak more about that in just a moment. But thirdly, and always the most difficult, is that where our department recommends a notice of decision to approve a permit, it's very difficult to explain to all parties involved in that matter what the basis of that impending decision is before the councillor call-in deadline arrives, and sometimes it is fairer and easier, especially so that we're not disclosing information that we shouldn't, to have certain matters aired publicly. So that's why I called the matter in. If the building is a contributory graded heritage building, then a certain pathway of assessment needs to be taken. And if it's not, heritage is not a key consideration, and quite a different pathway is taken. So that threshold issue of whether or not the building is a heritage graded building was very important. It's beyond doubt that the current grading is that it is ungraded and that it's surrounded by two ungraded buildings and it's opposite the street from an ungraded building. And when we referred the matter to our heritage consultant, the argument was essentially put that it's borderline between ungraded and contributory. But as we all know, and as is dear to my heart as the heritage portfolio lead, we are conducting a heritage review of all of South Yarra at the moment. And so the question, which is an entirely understandable question, is what if that building was in that review? If it is, and I don't know, by the way, because I've asked not to see it until it comes to council, but if it is, there's theoretically an opportunity to have a building graded, changed grading on an interim basis if we ask the planning minister extra nicely. The argument nevertheless remains that because it's borderline between ungraded and contributory and surrounded by non-contributory buildings, the threshold simply wasn't even close to being met to get the planning minister to grant interim protection, even if the building is in the South Yarra Heritage Review proposed to be graded contributory. And again, I don't know if it is. Unless the building was proposed to be graded significant, like it was so extraordinarily valuable that we should apply for interim protection, unless it was going to be that, and it's quite clear that it wasn't, it's not something that we would pursue with the minister because it's just unfair on the owner of the building. So that's the story that I needed to tell by calling the matter in, because we've looked very, very closely at what the loss of the building, which doesn't currently have an ungraded, which doesn't currently have a heritage grading, but theoretically might, what the loss of the building might mean for the heritage of the streetscape, and that's a process that's run alongside the assessment. The assessment itself has been done absolutely by the book, as I think the applicant has also argued for. It's always good to hear. And so now that we've established beyond doubt that the building is an ungraded heritage building, that's the pathway that we're following with the assessment. I acknowledge that the applications changed after the objections were received with the 57A amendment. And though that was a direct response to the objections, and I think Mr. Butcher's put it as council permitting the applicant to chisel little bits out of the of the proposed building, and it's not an unfair assessment of what's happened, but I do acknowledge that the 57A changes are significant enough that it's pretty clear that the application should be supported. On res code, I have to make the point that in South Yarra especially, and all of our inner city suburbs, it is very, very common to say that whilst the standard has not been met, the objective has been met. I understand that that's a source of eternal frustration for residents and residence groups to see those standards being bent slightly every now and then, six in this case, but that's actually not unusual. This is a inner city setting where it's not greenfield sites on the outskirts of Melbourne. When South Yarra developed, a lot of the buildings developed very, very, very close together, and it has been established for an incredibly long time that some of those res code standards aren't reasonably able to be applied when you redevelop properties. And so I'm sorry to have called it in only to disappoint some. however, that's the process we've gone through, and I thought it was worth spelling that out. On that basis, I think it's an application that does comply with the Melbourne Planning Scheme to a very high extent and has the capacity, especially after the 57A plans, to be a valuable contribution to Milsom Street. Councillor Leelu.
Thank you, Councillor Leppard, and I think you've covered it very well. I won't go to the technical or the detail, and I think any time when we lose heritage is you're losing a bit of Melbourne, or you're losing a bit of the part of it. I will support this mainly in the interest that a process, a very solid process, has actually gone through. We have actually gone through the heritage. We've tested the, we've looked at all the issues and objections. We noted that the applicant has actually addressed most of them, and I guess in the end, it's a process we do go through because it's a balancing act between heritage and development. I will also welcome, the development because in a way, it does kind of increase, potentially the values of the street, but also the neighbourhood, but also at the same time addresses it. And I know not everyone's going to be happy, but it is the rules and regulations at which we are governed and work with. I note that the applicant has worked very closely with us, and also I think our team, for the due diligent work, because it's never easy, and it's something that we always try to take into effect, and it's not always easy, but that's the rules and also the role that we have to play and to balance that, and I'm actually quite satisfied in terms of all the things that we need to address so that we don't regret it in the future, and this is something that we hopefully that we can also take as a things that we learned. I definitely learned a lot more in terms of a residential zone and also in terms of the different development in this particular space. So in that all, I will be supporting it and looking forward, and I just want to say thank you to everyone who's been part of that process, because we hear you and we've tried to address everything we can, and also it might not be the decision you want, but at the same time, it's one that we have come to. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Leelu. Any other contributors to this debate? Councillor Dr. Ball.
Just in view of the contributions tonight, thank you all.
to Jack, I think it was. If you are, where is he? If you're familiar with the planning reports of our department, you know that the detail and thoroughness of this report is entirely typical of our department, I'm pleased to say. As to Hamish raised the concern about site coverage, I think, and please correct me if I'm mistaken, that the site is currently 75% covered and would be 76% under the proposal. So it's basically the same as what is currently there. The permeability is low, which is unfortunate. And what was about the matter of the annex that Michael raised? I wasn't sure. Can that be provided?
That was my we're happy to throw to you mid-debate, Marjorie, if you wanted to answer that question about whether or not we're missing a document. Thank you.
So the reference in the report to the appendix is a tabulated response for ResCode. So all the compliant parts of ResCode are contained within that appendix. In the actual FMC report, we take you to every non-compliance. So that appendix wasn't contained within the FMC report.
Thanks, Marjorie. Councillor Ball, did you wish to continue?
But it could be available. Is that what you're saying?
No, not today. That's not a report that's on inspection or FOI.
It is a document that can be made publicly available as it forms part of the delegates' report. So if any request came in, it's available even on a closed file. A delegate report can be requested from council, and I'd be happy to email it to anyone that would like to. You can just put request to planning at melbourne.vic.gov.au, requesting a copy of that, and we can provide a copy.
Thanks, Marjorie. Anything else? Any other contributions to the debate? No? I'm going to put it straight to a vote then. All those in favour of this motion, please raise your hands. Thank you. I declare the motion carried unanimously by all councillors present. And we'll invite Lord Mayor, Deputy Lord Mayor and Councillor Louis back now if we could. And when Deputy Lord Mayor returns, he'll be chairing.
Thank you, Councillor Leppett, for managing that process. And we can move on to agenda item 6.3, which is the Municipal Planning Strategy, our major initiative 20. And we are going to have a presentation on this agenda item. And calling on Sophie. Oh, am I?
It is very rude.
It's the Deputy Lord Mayor is supposed to be chairing.
Thank you,
Councillor Leppett.
Thank you. And we'll call on Sophie Hanley to please present to councillors and those here gathered on this matter.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Good evening, Lord Mayor and councillors and everyone. After many years of work and a great deal of effort, we're very pleased to... Oh, next slide, please. To present the draft Melbourne Municipal Planning Strategy and the draft City Spatial Plan to Council for consideration this evening. We'll be seeking endorsement of both of those documents to submit to the Minister for Planning for authorisation and then following on to public exhibition. The driver of this project is the Council Plan Major Initiative 20, which is specifically related to the update of the Municipal Planning Strategy. Next slide, please. So in line with the Council Plan and the Community Vision, the Municipal Planning Strategy sets out the vision for the future of the city. It introduces the policies that will guide land use and development decisions and supports the controls that are within the planning scheme, including all the zones, overlays and the specific provisions. The development of the MPS can take many forms, and in this instance, it consolidates Council's endorsed policies, plans and strategies relating to planning matters that have been worked on over the last several years, such as the affordable housing strategy, the transport strategy, economic development strategies, and many others. So it gathers all of those together and puts them into the document that we can deliver on those objectives through. Next slide, please. This shows the structure of the municipal planning strategy for those who are interested in reading through the comprehensive document. The first section provides a clear description and sets the context of the City of Melbourne. The second section articulates the vision. Then the strategic directions are articulated in a reasonable level of detail, covering all of those themes that are listed on the screen. The next section provides the municipal-wide strategic directions, showing them in graphical form. And then the last section provides a detailed policy statements and graphical representation for each of the local areas. Next slide, please. So that's the municipal planning strategy. And the second document is the draft city spatial plan, which provides the background supporting the municipal planning strategy. It covers both thematic strategies, which are identified there in part two, and also the place-based strategies, which you can see in part three. The next slide, please, shows those areas colourfully. The city spatial plan identifies the planned change and growth across the whole of the city. And you can see they're separated into the different areas. The map looks similar to the one that Rushta showed earlier on in the evening, but does show some additional places, such as you can see that Arden and Macaulay in the purple colour are in between Kensington and North Melbourne. So that creates four areas, whereas in the neighbourhood plans there would be just two areas. So the outside boundaries match as much as possible. We've entirely coordinated so that the data can be considered over a longer period of time. But you can see that there are central city areas, renewal precincts and neighbourhoods identified, and some other special areas such as the park, domain parklands and Flemington Racecourse. The city spatial plan also incorporates endorsed positions of council and considers current and emerging trends at global and local scale. It identifies features and gives clear direction to the future of local areas, for example, shown on the next slide, which is a little bit difficult to read, but there is a spread for each of those neighbourhoods that are shown on the previous slide, and it identifies specifically the vision. There's some statistics, a plan showing particular features and key moves, and then there is a corresponding set of principles and policies that apply to that particular location. This is the Hoddle Grid example. Next slide, please. So whilst the matter's been in train for several years, we're about to start a new phase of this project, and it's the planning scheme amendment phase. Should Council resolve to progress the project this evening, we'll go on to seek authorisation from the Minister for Planning and then commence an exhibition and consultation with the whole of the community across the municipality. I would just also mention that the submissions that we have already received over the past couple of days raise the types of issues that will generate very helpful discussion and improve our policy work. So we're really looking forward to that upcoming engagement with the community.
Thank you very much, Sophie. Any questions from councillors for Sophie? No, well, we thank you then for addressing us this evening. I would now like to move a motion which I would request please be put on the screen. It is an alternative motion, so I just want to check that we have got it right. Yep. Just keep scrolling down if that's okay. Great, okay. And there is reference in that alternative motion to a an addendum which we will speak to. All right, I'm looking for a councillor to second that. Thank you, Councillor Leppert. Well, this is truly a momentous matter that we're considering here tonight, and I'm absolutely delighted that councillors are being asked to endorse the municipal planning strategy and the city spatial plan for public exhibition. This is a once-in-a-decade opportunity to chart a course for what Melbourne will look like in the decades ahead. We're planning out to 2040. Now, here it needs to be said, modern Melbourne, as we know it, is not just a city that happened by magic. It's the result of very deliberate and strategic decision-making by the city and by the state. It's a product of one good decision building on another. And modern history actually shows that the City of Melbourne has got a pretty good track record in this regard. In 1985, we had the Melbourne Strategy Plan, which combined with changes in liquor licensing laws, saw the birth of Melbourne's inner city thriving nightlife. And then with Postcode 3000, we saw more residents moving into the CBD, making inner Melbourne a place to live, not just work. So as we sit here in 2022 and we look forward to the decades ahead, we know that Melbourne is going to grow very significantly. In fact, this document forecasts that the population of the city of Melbourne will grow by about 150,000 people between now and 2040. That will require an additional 60,000 homes. The city of Melbourne is also forecast to be home to 230,000 jobs. So it'll continue to be an economic juggernaut, not just for the state, but for the nation. So putting that all together, it is forecast by SGS Economics that between now and 2040, a staggering 10 million square metres of floor space will need to be built in the city of Melbourne, which begs the question, where is that going to occur and what do we want the future city to look like? That's where this municipal planning strategy and the city spatial plan really map that out. I guess the most significant part or the most significant element of how we manage that growth is the vision we have for new urban renewal precincts, those previously underutilised industrial areas of the city will be transformed into thriving neighbourhoods. So, for example, the suburbs of Lorimer and Fisherman's Bend will be home to 80,000 residents and 80,000 workers. The suburb of Arden will be home to 15,000 residents and 34,000 jobs, while the neighbouring Macaulay will have 10,000 residents and 9,500 workers. Suburbs like West Melbourne will transition. They've got a strong industrial history. They'll continue to be a place where a lot of people are employed, but will also take on a much more residential character, becoming like the new Fitzroy or Collingwood for the west of the city. Suburbs like City North will become centres for employment in the sort of technology and startup space as new employers or new businesses put down roots in that area to be close to the University of Melbourne and RMIT. But I know what many of you will be thinking. What does this all mean for South Yarra? Well, in regards to South Yarra, it is very much identified as an established neighbourhood with appropriate controls in place to protect that. We do encourage continued sensitive development along St Kilda Road, including more ground floor shops and cafes. We don't want to see podium and towers along St Kilda Road. We want to see those sort of mid-rise, properly set back towers like there are there at the moment. We're also planning for improved access to public transport, and we think the new Anzac Station is a terrific opportunity for placemaking around that hub there on Domain and St Kilda Road, and that will be a great new hub for the area. We're also importantly reinforcing our existing planning controls for South Yarra to make it clear that South Yarra is very much an established low-density residential neighbourhood. I do want to thank the Melbourne South Yarra Residents Group for their submission and assure you that our team will consider those suggestions very thoroughly through the exhibition process, particularly concerning the appropriate use of public open space and the Route 58 tram. And I also note that our South Yarra Heritage Review is ongoing, and I do acknowledge that this has been going on for some time, and we're hoping to have news about that soon. So can I finish by saying this is a once-in-a-decade exercise. It is extremely exciting for the future of Melbourne, and I do very much encourage all Melburnians to familiarise themselves with the plan and to submit, and I promise you that your submissions will be duly read and thoroughly considered. We're expecting bouquets, we're probably expecting a few brickbats as well. That's the nature of community consultation, and it's so important that we get it on this exercise. Can I finish by thanking the a couple of key people who have put an extraordinary amount of work into these initiatives. Firstly, the city strategy team led by Sophie Handley and Sarah Locock, as well as the great work of Evan Council and many people who have worked at the City of Melbourne previously, and the many consultants and other planning and city strategy experts who provided input. Can I also thank my councillor colleague, Rohan Leppert. We've had many, many, many hours of meetings to get to this point tonight. And the contribution of Councillor Leppert, along with everyone else, has been absolutely invaluable. So I'll finish on that note and say I could not be more delighted to be moving this motion tonight. Thank you. Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor, and thank you for your kind words. It's been a very interesting but thoroughly worthwhile and wonderful process. I've been on the council for nearly 10 years now, and the last municipal strategic statement, which is what these things used to be called, was adopted just before I was elected, and I've been sitting here in frustration for nearly a decade going, when is my opportunity to shape the next MPS, which is what we're now calling it, and tonight's the night that kicks all of that off, and so you'd better believe that I've been waiting for the opportunity to make sure that all of those controls and policies across the municipality represent the will of the community and are as informed as they possibly can be. Because this is our opportunity to think really big and ambitious, but just as importantly, it is an opportunity to consolidate and synthesise all of our existing policies, not just planning policies, but our transport policies and our economic development policies and our arts policies, and to just make sure that when planning ministers come and go and, for example, upzone all of Fisherman's Bend overnight and take us by surprise and massively expand the potential development area of the so-called central city, what we then do afterwards to try and put some good policy back in place to make sure that that unholy friction between local government and state government planning agendas can be managed in a way that there's some certainty and some understanding by all parties in the planning system, especially local residents of the City of Melbourne, as to what the government's agenda is and why, and how these different pieces come together. And if you think about how much the city has changed in the last 10 years, it's that second role, not the here's our ambitious statement for the future, but how do we consolidate all of those policies and tell the clearest narrative we possibly can about where development goes across the municipality and why, not just intensification of development, but all those economic development strategies as well. Bringing that together is a massive job. And I'm so delighted that our team has done that. In fact, they've been doing it for quite some time. Before Sophie and I think Kate Dundas and then Emma Appleton, there's been many, many in the team in City Strategy that's put this together. And I've got a shining light here, but I want to thank Sarah Locock, Rose Semler. I think they're both here. I can't see any further than that. Thomas Cochran, Toby looks like he's here. And everyone who's been involved in City Strategy, not just to prepare this report, but to write the city spatial plan and prepare draft one of this, which was actually quite a long time ago. And that's because that consolidation exercise over 10 years, you know, you just got to keep doing it over 10 years if you're going to get it right. So it is a massive job. So there are areas of our municipality where we value conservation and character above all other considerations, and there's areas where intensification of housing and employment is encouraged at a fast rate. That's very clear, based on not just council decisions, but especially decisions by planning ministers that come and go. But what we're doing really well here is place-based planning, and I do think, as the Deputy Lord Mayor said, South Yarra is a really great example of that. My favourite clause in the old MSS is being reflected in the new MPS, which is to respect Domain Road at the Park Street intersection as an important local community centre with that local retail and hospitality function. It's really important because that we've lost a lot of basic services here for the local community over many, many years. And whilst the MPS itself doesn't have the power to compel Australia Post to not close a post office, even though that's obviously already happened here a very long time ago, it sets the tone for what we want to see in the area. And that local economic function is something that really comes to life in a document like the MPS. So that's why this document's important, and it's why we have to get it right. So thank you as well to Gail Gledhill on behalf of the MSYG and David Hamilton on behalf of Southbank 3006 and other submitters for putting together some great suggestions. During the exhibition stage, I hope we can pull all those suggestions together even further and keep improving what I think is a very high quality document. As the Deputy Lord Mayor said, there's reference here to a table document. That's just a series of changes we'd like to commission before we get to the exhibition stage. I won't go through that now because I've well and truly gone past my time limit, but they will be appended to the minutes so that there's absolute transparency over what small value the councillors think we're adding to a mountain of work by the officers. And I'll just conclude there again when I started and say to the team, thank you. It is an enormous job and I'm very proud of it. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Lippitt. Are there any other councillors who would like to speak for or against this motion? Okay, in that case, we'll put the matter to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. I'm declaring that carried unanimously. And I now call on the Lord Mayor to resume the role of Chair for the remainder of the meeting.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I am back into it. It's Agenda Item 6.4 and it's Faulkner Park, Paisley Street, North Entrance Improvements. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No, thank you. We do know that we have a presentation B that you requested at this point. I know you did refer to this earlier. Did you want to say anything else on this item at this point? You don't. Okay, please come to the microphone. And no, we've got Jennifer McDonald. If Jennifer's... Sure, thanks, team. Is Jennifer here? Sorry, Jennifer, there you are. I thought I saw you earlier. Over to you. Sorry. Well done to our team that worked so hard on that big plan. Hopefully they're going to celebrate. They've had a few of those celebrations lately. Sophie, are you leaving us now? No, well done. Good. Jennifer, just welcome. And just to reset, it's item 6.4, Faulkner Park. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor and Councillors. It's already been stated. I was going to start by saying that Faulkner Park is listed on the Victorian Heritage Register. I feel I need to say that. I felt I needed to say that because it's rare to find a reference to it in communication from the planning team. In the report to the Future Melbourne Committee, it is stated that the new court infrastructure is consistent with the council's open space strategy. But Faulkner Park is not open space. Just open space. We're told in the report that the new multi-purpose court in the park is consistent with the council's objective to enhance Melbourne's unique identity and place. I cannot see how locating a showpiece sports court in the midst of one of Melbourne's finest assets, the heritage, its heritage parks, how the court achieves that in the middle of the park. This has been a very contentious project, and there are outstanding issues which need to be rectified in the planning of new works for heritage parks. We've already touched on that as well, a lot. There are adequate community. The issues are adequate community consultation. The inclusion of heritage expertise from the early stages of the planning process, so important, we have found, and the current master plan is required to guide decision making, and we've discussed that. I appreciate the efforts the City Council is taking to include community participation in new projects. It is still unclear where the proposed need for a public multifunctional court in the particular area of Faulkner Park where the proposed need came from. Community interests in this area relate to the playground area of two primary schools and a kindergarten and the well-frequented magnificent park landscape. Heritage issues were obviously important for this park. Heritage Victoria is to be commended for the work it did. It was only involved when it was required to issue a permit for the works. Heritage expertise and advice had not been included in the detailed development of the plans, and Heritage Victoria tried to negotiate to reduce heritage impacts. Heritage Victoria refused a permit for parts of the works and noted considerable community concern. However, the City Council did not respect the decision of Heritage Victoria, the Independent Heritage Authority, and returned to revisiting the plans. Instead, the City of Melbourne appealed to the Heritage Council to overrule the permit refusal. The community voice well represented by Heritage Victoria for the preservation of the high community and aesthetic values of this wonderful park was overpowered by the resources of the City of Melbourne, where at great expense, SC and legal team and expert witnesses and their preferred heritage consultants have a luminous documentation persuaded the three-member Heritage Council to rule in favour of the City of Melbourne. We were not happy with this process. We believe our heritage parks deserve the best outcomes. From our experience, it is imperative that heritage expertise involved in the early stages of the planning for new works in heritage-sensitive parks so that different alternatives are better explored early for reducing heritage impacts where possible. I won't discuss the master plan because that has been looking at that. The new court, I'll just finish by saying the new court has not been welcomed by the many residents who use the park for recreation rather than sporting activities. The magnificent setting of Faulkner Park, as described in the master plan, has been altered by the location of a large concreted area of highly patterned sports court with additional paving and skating edges and bike lanes, replacing an expansive area of lush green grass and dappled sunlight between the historic beside this historic Avenue of Elms. The new infrastructure in the park is very much part of the view on the eastern side of the park, and more so with the bare winter trees. It does alter the character and ambience of the park, particularly on the eastern side. I'll just say we hope in Faulkner Park the mistakes of the recent past will not be repeated. Thank you.
Thank you very much to you, Jennifer, and we know you've been very actively involved through this entire process, so thank you, and we do acknowledge that. Thank you, of course. To B, did you want to come back for your submission at this point? Thanks, B. I think if we hear yours and then we can see if we've got any follow-up.
I'll start questions. As I want to conclude, which is I'm requesting that you correct the points in this. It is really important that is done. They are, several of them, absolutely wrong, and it's data that is proved and you can read. And I request that you don't make this resolution. This has not been a successful project. It has been a disaster from beginning to end, and as we say, we hope it never happens again, but it is... It's caused major issues. It's cost we ratepayers a fortune. And starting a project like this, when the master plan was already overdue and we had no conservation management plan, it was done outside of our established planning process, which we trust you to do. And that's best practice. And a lot of work and time has gone into this project, and it should have been done. It should have gone into the master plan. And then we would be happy and be moving along together. It's unacceptable, even as said earlier, that you would proceed now and continue doing works in Faulkner Park instead of working on actually doing its first conservation management plan and updating the master plan. You know, the place was not on the Victorian Heritage Register when this master plan was done. So this is really not acceptable. It states in the points that there have been a lot of compliments on this. Well, nobody I know, and I deal with over 10,000 people in my groups, they're really distressed. Most of them don't go to Faulkner Park anymore. I live north of it, four doors north, as does Jennifer and a number of other people here. I've lost, personally, as everyone to the north has, their heritage nature relaxing walk on Sunday afternoons when it's really busy. And City of Melbourne began this project because two people in Paisley Street kept meeting with Cassie Kiss and one other officer and saying that they had noise from the court that disturbed them in their homes, homes they bought in Paisley Street, knowing there was a court there by the school. And over a period of time, they developed this plan, and it was implemented without it going through the process. None of us received mail about it. Only Jennifer actually knew at the Future Melbourne Committee meeting, so none of the issues were reported because we weren't informed and it wasn't in the master plan. And Sally, with respect, there is no mention in the 2006 master plan of any paving of paths in that area or of a court being built next to the Avenue of the Elms, which is in the core of Faulkner Park, or of an issue with drainage in that area. There was a mention of an issue in drainage over in the west. And, you know, I know that document very well by now, so I'm asking that you please amend it. I've received lots of complaints, and I don't get reply from City of Melbourne. We don't know who to contact really anymore. I suppose we should do what the two people on Paisley Street do and contact you every month complaining, but that's ridiculous. So the court, as I've witnessed it, isn't generally used except occasionally when there's good weather by the South Yarra Primary School from 1 to 2 at lunchtime. And other than that, it's used by the same people that City of Melbourne accepted as noisy, undesirable noise and undesirables. They're now in the centre of the court and they now affect everyone in the basin of a flat grassed park. They affect the thousands of people City of Melbourne have documented use the park rather than affecting three people in Paisley Street. So it is an issue. I'm asking that we do proper best practice planning and management processes and that we do our conservation management plan and master plan before any other works. Other works have been done at Faulkner Park and they weren't consulted with either and they were done during lockdown. They're all unusual, they're all damaging, like the fencing and the removal of grass right along the northern border.
See? Yep.
It's also contrary to the UN IPCC 2022 reports and recommendations where they say you should not remove grass or trees anywhere. And so we should have been part of a process, decide what sort of park we want before those things were done. It's not a matter of success. It was brought up in Parliament as a criticism of City of Melbourne for their management processes and lack of inclusion by at least two politicians, twice each. It's subject to case studies on what you must not do with planning and heritage places and the failures of engagement. It is also been reported by many people to the parliamentary inquiry. So I'm asking you to please not call it a success and to please correct the information. I'm inundated with complaints. I'm happy to forward them to whoever will put up a hand.
Yep. Good. Thank you so much, Bea. We certainly do understand.
It's really unacceptable environmentally to remove grass and to proceed with plans that are, you know, 8 and more years old and that were done without the community or a master plan. I hope you all agree with that because we want to move forward together. But the works along the north need to be undone as well. We want our view back.
Thank you. Thank you, Bea. Councillors, were there any other questions for Jennifer or B at this stage, or any questions of officers at this point? I'm just noting that I know across our councillors that deal with planning that there'll be some comments made on in response to that. No other questions at this point? No. Okay. Well, thank you so much to our submitters. I am now going to move this motion this evening as it is, and I'm looking for a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Griffiths, thank you. I know that Faulkner Park is a much-loved green space park in Melbourne. I think we can all agree that Faulkner Park is a fabulous space, to use your words, B, and something that we'll continue to invest in. I think from my perspective particularly, it's important to acknowledge that when we do have these precious, limited and unique spaces, that one of the big challenges we have at Council is to balance the varied and broad uses and needs of our community into limited space. And it's a challenge we're dealing with all the time, particularly in our open spaces. Just recently, as part of our budget and annual plan process, we had calls for more netball courts, for more places, for community sport, for better facilities, for example. And we continue to balance that with what we've seen is an incredible respect and use of green open space, particularly as a result of COVID, and the needs to balance all of those things. Sorry, B, we're not taking any other questions or submissions at this stage. They're my statements, and so I'm... Okay, noted. Noted. Thank you, B. Thank you. I'm noting the varied and broad uses and interests that we have across the community, and that we are trying to balance and facilitate, and that these are always difficult issues to balance. But I believe that our team and our council do go out of their way to be able to understand all of the information, their needs, the data, the analysis. We are, I think, no doubt, a council that is absolutely committed to greening our city, to our environmental credentials, to our targets to reach by 2040, particularly in terms of zero carbon net. There's absolutely a commitment from all of us to be able to achieve those sorts of goals, and it is all in our council plan and our annual plan. But I'm saying that so that I can acknowledge very much the passion and the submissions and the work that's been put in place by Jennifer, by B, by people that and the community that you represent in so many ways, and many of which those views I can see Michael shaking his head as well. Have been represented in the work that's happened internally. And I think we tested, and look, B. B, we're going to keep going because as I've said, there are many varied interests and people and uses that we need to balance. And we, B, thank you. So we absolutely acknowledge that balance, that compromise is very difficult to reach, but these works have created a new multi-purpose court for use for a range of activities, basketball, netball has already been mentioned, creating a space that families can enjoy and spaces that need to be shared. Overall, there's been an increase of 12 new trees in the park as a result of the work and improved conditions for established trees. And David Callow, who's the biggest tree lover I've ever met in my life, who's been leading this project, is somebody that really keeps us to account on trees, but we're committed to trees. We note that there is a new path. There's new seating, lighting and drainage. And Bea, please, I didn't interrupt you whilst you were speaking, and it's now my turn to speak. So we really want to keep moving forward, and if you could respect that, Bea, thank you. Point noted. We believe that the environment that we've created, as I said, tries to reach that compromise, is being enjoyed by many people in the neighbourhood, many people that come to use the park. We know we've already had positive feedback about improvements in biodiversity and the experience people are having there, certainly from the school and families associated with the school. We would encourage everybody, of course, to use the parks for their purposes, and I'll just say it again, that needs to be a variety of purposes. We have Ray Chen, I'm going to say your name again, who's a great champion who will continue to be a liaison. But in terms of feedback, Bea, I don't believe we've stopped responding to your emails, but I'm happy to take that up, and please feel free to write to me, Bea, and Jennifer, and others interested. I think from a process perspective, which is probably one of the items that you've really called out tonight, it's a question we've asked our team many times to ensure that we have been undertaking the right processes and appropriate processes so we can satisfy ourselves that in taking this course and delivering this project, we've done that in the right way. And I'll leave it for others to comment, particularly on the detail there, Bea. But for those reasons, I'm happy to move this motion this evening, and I'm calling on David Griffiths, the seconder of the motion, to comment.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to this motion. It was fantastic tonight to have the opportunity between our briefings at Town Hall and this meeting to have the opportunity to go down and have a quick walk around Faulkner Park. It was a lovely evening to do so. Fantastic to see so many residents out, enjoying the many components that park had to offer. Lots of large dogs, which are close to my heart, off in the dog section. Lots of people walking clearly to and from work, and lots of people making use of the playgrounds, the tennis courts, the sports fields, and indeed the area that we're talking about here. So fantastic to see a dynamic and enjoyed space. And also really interesting to note that the very first question that we had tonight was in reference to what further facilities and what further sports activities could be provided for people. And Lord Mayor, I think that goes to the point that you were making about the really difficult job that we have as a council and that the officers here have in balancing the growing population that we have in the area with the broad range of needs that they have. And I guess it's not often that we have the opportunity to thank the officers who have jurisdiction over this, but it's been fantastic in the last few months to have the opportunity to go along to a number of park areas within the City of Melbourne. I'm thinking specifically of the new grandstands in Royal Park, but also the fantastic synthetic surface which has just recently opened in JJ Holland Park, which Councillor Hakim and I were able to go and visit. These spaces are an attempt to deal with the growing population and the growing desires that people have to be out and enjoying those spaces and to make them safe and accessible for as many people as possible. So for all of those reasons, and with thanks to the team that did these works and a much broader suite of works across the municipality, I'm happy to second this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Griffiths. I'm looking to see if there are any other councillors who'd like to comment on this item. Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Well, look, this concludes reports from management this evening. We don't have any items of general business for consideration this evening. Councillors, are there any items of urgent business that you would like to raise? No. Thanks, James. Thank you for that. That leaves us with public questions, which we have at the end of our Future Melbourne Committee meetings. It is a chance for there to be any further public questions to raise at this point. And I'm looking at our members of the public here to see if anybody would like to raise any other questions. No, then thank you. I really wanted to say, okay, please do come down. We've got a microphone coming. If you wouldn't mind just saying your name and then saying your question, and it just means people online can hear the conversation as well. Thank you.
My name's Sue Grant. I live in South Yarra. I'm just interested in the green wedge that's going along the north side of the Yarra from...
Berrungmar to the
Flinders Balti. Street, is it? Station? Yes. Can you tell us what's happening with that?
Yes, the working title for that project is called Green Line. It is a green wedge, another great way of describing it, from Berrungmar to the Balti Bridge. It is about rejuvenating the north bank of the Yarra into connected green open spaces so that there's a continuous pedestrian path along the 4 kilometres. That is currently a very neglected part of our city and the Yarra. The project is a city shaping project from our perspective, a scale similar to the development of South Bank in the 1990s, Federation Square in the early 2000s, and then this as another city shaping project that brings economic, social, and health benefits to our community. We, at its spine, will be Indigenous stories, history, culture, and plantings. We are working with the other significant number of stakeholders that have ownership or some sort of responsibility, from Melbourne Water, Parks Victoria, VicTrack, Department of, or DELP, many other agencies, to make sure that our combined goals of the health of the Yarra itself, activation of the Yarra and the Yarra's Edge, but overall greening and return of native species and that experience along that north bank of the Yarra incorporated into the project. But importantly, from our perspective, a continuous path that can be used to connect to green open spaces for locals, for visitors, and really to also drive a lot of international interest and attraction, as Highline has done in New York. So many, many benefits from this city shaping project. At its heart, green open spaces, a connected pathway, and our ancient Indigenous culture.
Has it been started?
Work is well underway now with planning and stage one. It's in 5 stages. Stage one is the rejuvenation of Berrungmar to bring people down to the river and to really have more of an ecological edge and feature more of our Indigenous ancient history, and that's stage one. And the implementation plan will be, thank you, Alison, our acting CEO, coming up to council before Christmas. Just to note, Sue, that there is a significant budget commitment now in our budget, federal government budget, and working closely with state government agencies. I thought I'd just mention as well, we have a Yarra River strategy, which goes to all of those elements I've just spoken about that Green Line helps us achieve. The state government also has a Yarra Birrarung strategy, and then all of those agencies also have strategies relevant, and so we're really ticking a lot of positive outcomes right across responsible authorities, but ultimately a great outcome for locals and visitors as well.
Thank you.
Bea, a question from you. I think I said before you might have arrived that questions can't relate to agenda items on
the agenda. It's to do with the early release of documentation for future Melbourne Committee meetings. And we've been asking for this for a number of years, since before COVID, and then it became critical during COVID. And it's only happened once with one item, and this week was another example where there's 371 pages, all of which I really should have read and made submissions for and communicated to all the groups and members for, and I simply didn't have time with two business days. We're all community volunteers and residents, and we've got other jobs and etc. So we're asking you to just kindly, I mean, these are massive projects that they've got documentation, people have worked on them for a year or more. You could give it to us earlier or involve us, as we have also requested, because we really like to be engaged and we really care, and there are some very talented people. We'd like you to include us in community reference groups in key projects so that we can contribute and be embedded in the planning stage, so we don't get a surprise on Thursday evening that there's 371 pages due and you have no time. Mm. So can I ask that you actually really implement it? I know that several councillors here agree with that and making efforts, and thank you for shaking your head. I like head shaking. I think Alison agrees with it, but I'm not sure Haney does, but I'm sure you can persuade him. He says he does, but he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah. Look, we do have a commitment, particularly for big reports, that there'll be at least 2 weekends to consider. It was a timing issue that we missed this time. And we did discuss ways in which we could manage that, given that this project is going to public exhibitions. So there is still more opportunity to receive the feedback. And in fact, the whole point of that part of the process is to receive feedback. We thought we would keep this process going, particularly since it has to go to the minister now to receive consent to go to exhibition, and that we would make sure that we were engaged. I see Evan and Sophie shaking their heads, or nodding their heads, I should say, to make sure that there is that engagement. But we did, as councillors, have a detailed discussion today about how we can give more notice of forward plans, and a number of good ideas were raised, something we'll be taking up with our executive team.
Thank you.
To really make a firm commitment. At the moment, it's not enshrined in our governance rules, but it's something that we could look to enshrine and really give everybody confidence.
I appreciate Alison. You saying that, and I appreciate Sophie saying at the end of her submission, because I was very disappointed not to get time to send that out to all the members and groups who are uninformed and wanted to contribute, and they feel they're being excluded. So I'm trying to work with you and get them feeling engaged and heard. And you know, with the federal election, and we've got election coming in Victoria, and then you'll have an election, it was loud and clear that people in Australia at the election we're saying we want to be heard.
Yep.
We want to be engaged. We want you to listen to us. We want you to base what you're doing and saying and policies and works on what we are saying to you. So we're saying the same. We want to work with you.
Yeah. And local government, most closely connected to community. And it's our whole neighbourhood delivery model.
That was the second thing that came out of the federal election. And we really care.
Yep.
And hence, you know, like with the UNIPPC report, it says don't remove any grass and any trees. We want you to be resilient and adapt to that. We adapted to it years ago. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you, Bea. Really appreciate that. Did you want to add anything, Alison? No. But certainly a project we'll be expecting to improve and be better at going forward. But thank you for raising it for the 191st time. And I hope that will be the last time you need to do it. Thank you, Bea. All right, any other questions? Thanks to all of our question askers this evening. Thank you to all of our submitters We wanted to say a special thank you to this marvellous facility, the St Martin's Youth Arts Centre, for hosting us, and what a thrill it was to see the sign as we arrived, in terms of now showing really fantastic with lights. We do appreciate it. Thank you to all of you for making such a difference in our community, to our team councillors. We're calling this meeting closed at 8:19 p.m.